You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sanz, your host for The Weekend, and joining us on The Weekend this weekend are Secret Werrett, Sharon Robinette, and Kayla Suarez, and they're here with the YWCA. They're going to be talking about a special event that kicks off on October 11th. First of all, ladies, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you. Thank you. The event is October 20th.
Ah, okay. Well, October 11th is just something to keep your ears perked so you can know when it happens. With that in mind, is there a deadline that they have to meet, or can they do it that same day?
Well, the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is the annual men's march that we do to raise awareness for sexual and domestic violence. And the registrations are open now. We're just inside a month of the event. And we take registrations all the way up. At a certain point, we do have to cut them off online, maybe the day before the event. But we will take on-site walk-up registrations on October 20th as well.
Kayla Suarez is with us here. And Kayla does community affairs but public relations with the YWCA. Tell us a little bit about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. How did this concept come about, and how long has it been in El Paso?
I think it's been at least 5 or 6 years, and this is the first year it's going to be at San Jacinto Plaza. Previously, it's been in Union Plaza, and so we're really excited about that. We're partnering with Anson 11 down there. There's going to be some great food, and of course, the whole point is to raise awareness, so the men will be walking in heels, and it's the concept, of course, walk a mile in your shoes to understand what women go through beyond just walking in heels, also to raise awareness of domestic and sexual violence that they also face.
Ladies, tell me a little bit more about Secret Ann and Sharon about domestic violence and some of the issues that perhaps you all might be aware of and why this is, I mean, it is a serious issue, but sometimes people will just tend to, we all do brush it off sometimes. If it doesn't affect us, then it's not our problem, but mm-hmm. It affects everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially in our community, you know, we tend to, our culture is to kind of sweep things under the rug and not talk about it. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. We think, oh, it's just me. It's my fault. But the issue is really prevalent, you know, in El Paso and across Texas and the United States. And I mean, the statistics are staggering. So the likelihood is that you know somebody or you yourself are a victim. And, you know, the YW specifically, our mission is to empower women. And so, you know, this is one of many tools that we put out in the community to try to help victims and give them the support they need to change their situation. And you know, it's a really fun event. I mean, you can't help but talk about, I don't know, 300-400 men wearing high heels, you know, parading through downtown. But we do it in recognition that there is a problem. And if we can acknowledge that, then we can do something about it. But if we don't, step up and sort of acknowledge it, then it's really difficult to change the situation. And you know, we've got to start the conversation here. We've got to let them know it's okay. Let them know that there are services, that there are a lot of people working to support.
And Sharon, you had mentioned before the interview started the fact that we all tend to kind of stereotype sometimes in these issues. And domestic violence doesn't just happen to women. It can happen to men, and it can be, you know, even at home, where the children are abused.
Right. Men, women, children. I was totally amazed when I found out that, what is it, 1 out of 4
mm-hmm.
Children, my people will be sexually assaulted by the age of 18.
Yeah, 1 out of 4 girls and 1 out of 6 boys. It's everyone, you know, and
exactly.
All socioeconomic backgrounds.
It's not necessarily just women either. It can be men.
Yeah.
So, you know, people automatically think it's just women or just children, but there's men who are, because it's not just domestic violence, it's sexual assault as well.
And sometimes, I guess, because of the situation where it may be a man, I would imagine that that's hard to fathom and it's rarely reported, or am I wrong in that?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, I don't know the reporting, but I think you hear a lot less of it. I mean, they don't, you know, nobody wants to come forward and say it, especially in a culture where we have a lot of macho men, you know. So I think that's true. And with domestic violence, it's not, you know, it's not just like battery or something. I mean, it can be any sort of control over the relationship. It could be financial.
It can be psychological.
Psychological, exactly. You know, where it's just a very unhealthy dynamic in the relationship, but it's not always a physical manifestation.
So I'm not sure if this applies or not, but with social media, we hear about cyberbullying. Is this something that you all have come across as well?
I think it's definitely relevant because you can have partners cyber stalking their significant others, you know, abusing them, taking their phones and seeing, you know, who are you texting or
yeah.
who are you talking to? And then that leads to a form of abuse. It's just another way to control. Like we said, it's maybe not necessarily physical, but psychological, and it's just as damaging.
And as far as the situation, when it comes reported or if someone becomes aware of that, does the Y have certain programs that make people aware of domestic violence or anything that you're aware of?
We have a lot of programs once women have accepted or reported or have come to us for help. So like we talked about financial abuse, there's programs to help them get out of debt or to understand their own finance and credit and how they can become financially independent. So that's one thing not a lot of people think about that the Y definitely helps with.
We're sort of like a second line of support. We're not a crisis shelter. So usually what happens is when you seek out support, you're going to end up in a first line shelter. And then from there, you get placed into various community programs that have infrastructure and services to help you get control of your situation and get, you know, maybe you need help with daycare. The Y helps with that. Maybe you need help with financial assistance or skills training so that you can really move forward and control your own life and reestablish independence, you know. So that's along with our mission is empowering women. So we want to give them all the tools. So they're going to come in, you know, first in a crisis response, and then they'll be placed with a Y, and we'll have all the programming that we do to help them through that transition.
You know, such as a transitional living center. It's not, you know, it's women and children. Women and their children go there for support. But empowering women, what they're doing is teaching you how to be able to leave that program at some point. I think it's around an 18-month program, and they're going there, they're learning how to interview, they're learning how to get a job, because the women there, they don't want to be taken care of. They want to know how to be able to take care of themselves and their children. And that's the part that I'm amazed at the most about what the Y does and with the Transitional Living Center, because it is a program that teaches you how to move on. And there has been many success stories about women who have been in that program and with their children and then have gone on to lead very, very successful lives. They've been empowered.
And the fact that you all have a child care program as well, this is very important because in many instances, the child can be affected very much. Perhaps they don't say much or they won't keep it in. And a lot of times they think it's their fault that something is happening. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about your child care program.
We have a lot of child care programs because that's
okay,
what,
I'm
you
sorry.
Know, but I would say specifically when you talk about, you know, women and families that we're helping through a situation like domestic violence or homelessness and at the TLC, there's a lot of support for the children because it's, you know, they need help. Well, first of all, there needs to be stability. You know, we've got to get them to school and they need, they've usually come out of these really sort of crisis and stable environment. So you want to provide that. You want to rebuild confidence, get them back focused on school and not on home. And so specifically at the TLC, we do a lot of work with the children to help give them sort of that confidence, you know, and let them refocus on being a kid and school and the things that they should be. And so specifically there, but, you know, we have a lot of other daycare programs and after school care programs as well to make sure that moms have that support.
And you mentioned financial training, financial workshops, and that could be with the domestic violence. Sometimes the woman, not necessarily the woman in all cases, but majority of the times the woman is left and she doesn't know what to do. And the children, taking care of the children, she's focusing on that, but she can't do that because she doesn't have anything or anywhere to go. And I would imagine that despite the fact that we have a lot of tight family knits here on the border, there may be some women who may be here by themselves and not have anybody.
Oh, absolutely. The amount of women right now, I mean, that you have in some of these programs. There's staggered amounts of, what was it, 92, women and their children, So it's an incredible amount of people who don't have somewhere to go or they're afraid to go to those locations.
And that's actually one of the leading causes of women not leaving abusive relationships is not having anywhere to go.
And financial independence.
Yes.
So they
can't support their children. They can't support themselves. They're afraid to end up homeless. So they don't leave. So that's kind of where the Y and the Transitional Living Center and some of the programs come in. And now you make that first step in that first line that you do have somewhere. You have an option so you're not beholden to anyone.
Even myself, I was a single mom when my daughter was young. And they had an after-school program, and so her elementary school was Carlos Rivera. And so every day after that, she would be at the after-school program, and they'd help her with homework and everything else until I would get off work at 5 o'clock to go pick her up. As a matter of fact, she's a graduate of UTEP and is now an RN. It helps the women keeping the kids off the streets or having them go home by themselves, which... In some cases, a mother doesn't really want to see that. And so they have teachers and instructors there to help them not only do homework, but, play and do the things that kids can do instead of being by themselves at home when a mother has no choice but to be working to keep a roof over their head.
And sometimes, even though we hear a lot of tragic stories, as you mentioned yourself, there's also some great success stories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Many of them.
Yeah. I think that's one thing with the TLC. The families that come there don't want to be there forever. They just need a little bit of help. And that's what we do and give them, whether it's, a place to stay, help them access affordable daycare, or, we have financial assistance programs. A lot of times the barrier to working is education. So help them get their GED and then other life skills and educational skills that they need.
And you'd be amazed at the amount of support some of these programs, even volunteers, other people, tons of them from UTEP, who go there to the TLC and other areas to assist and volunteer and spend the time with the kids. Different military who helped put together their playground out there. But we're very excited about this year's Walk a Mile.
We are visiting with Secret Werrett, Sharon Robinette, and Kayla Suarez talking about the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes fundraiser, which takes place in October. And I got the date.
October 20th.
October 20th. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about... what people can expect, Kayla, for somebody who maybe they've never participated, maybe they want to help out in some way, or maybe they want to get, a group of coworkers and go.
Sure. So if you want to register, you can go to the YWCAElPaso.org/WAM16, so Walk a Mile 16, and you can kind of do it as an individual walker and raise money that way. It's kind of fun to get your coworkers or friends involved, and a lot of the men who have done it in the past, they like to compete with each other. So like I said, this is the first year we're doing it at San Jacinto. So that's where registration will be around at 4:30. And the walk starts at 6:30. You can actually pay a little extra if you don't want to walk. You can be driven around the plaza.
Casa Ford is giving the trucks to be able to drive them around.
Yes, you can pay to ride. It's a little extra, but that's an option. And then afterwards, there will be... a place to take photos with your team. There will be some food from Ants and Eleven, DJ. It'll just be kind of a lot of fun and another opportunity to learn more about some of the programs and what this purpose is. And this event is not specific to El Paso. They do it a lot of places, but it's a big deal in El Paso. We just looked up some statistics. In 2014, El Paso was among the top 5 counties in Texas with the highest number of domestic violence deaths. So it's definitely something that maybe not a lot of people think is prevalent in the community, but it is.
What about, I'm just doing this for the benefit of our listeners, the men who may want to participate in mm-hmm. this. What are the rules as far as heels? Do they have to be as, because we were talking about this before, the fact that some women is like, wow, how do wear those?
Well, it's funny because that comes up in can you do flip-flops or something like that? And, the point is it's a symbolic gesture. And so they definitely need to be heels. We don't bring out the ruler, and they can be wedges. They can be, pumps. If they if the registrant raises a certain amount of money, and I believe it's $150.
I think it's $125 by October 1st.
Okay. So if you raise a certain amount of money, then your registration will include our signature heels or extra shoes that we have. And a lot of men do that. But a lot of participants, especially the guys that have done it year after year, actually enjoy getting some real fancy shoes, and they kind of make it, especially the guys that come together as a team. We have one team that dresses in kilts every year, and they have, you know, they get real specific about their heels and have a lot of fun with it. And then, of course, you know, it's guys, so they get competitive. We always remind them, this is a march. It's a walk. It's not a race. But
plenty of people run.
And if they need to be competitive, let's do it in the fundraising side of it. And I think another important point is it's not just men participants. Women participate, too, by supporting the guys. So, you know, rally, get your guys at work to register, and then make a contribution towards their registration or their contribution. So
we have a lot of teams that are joining in. There's 10 walkers usually. You know, you can do as many, but 10 per team. And like I said, it comes with the shoes and, you know, some of the sponsorships that we've had in there. They've got their teams. And Anson 11, we're very excited. They've got all kinds of plans for us out there, and plenty of food and spirits.
And so as far as the registration goes, when you sign up, do you then get people to sponsor you before you go out and walk, or how does that work?
It's a crowdfunding process. So you register on the site, which is ywca.org/WAM16. And so you can just do a $25 registration, and then you can then invite others to come to your registration page and make a donation on your behalf or your team's behalf, what have you. So we have teams that raise $5,000-$6,000 just with individual contributions, not corporate contributions, but individual contributions. It's pretty amazing.
And it's great that, what you mentioned with Casa Ford and some of the other people, where their employees take part also.
That's exactly the point. You know, different people, you know Rick Francis and some of the people at West Star, and you know, Paul Foster, you know, from Western. What they'll do is they put that out, and then people will see it, and their friends, their peers, their colleagues, their employees, everybody just says, oh, this is funny. I want to see them in these shoes. And everybody else, they'll support it.
And we're happy for a $5, you know, contribution to whatever you can do. I mean, every dollar makes a difference in reaching that goal and ultimately funding programs that are going to help victims.
Kayla, you mentioned a little bit earlier about the statistics and about Texas and how we're one of the top in 2014. And it's something that you don't want to be proud of or brag about. But this also, you know, wakes people up and lets them know, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is a serious problem. So what are perhaps some of the other things that you found out through your research that you might want to let our listeners know about?
Right. So for me, to convince me, I'm a numbers person, you know. So, for example, nationwide, at least 3 million children will witness violence against their mother or female caretaker. It can be a boyfriend. It can be a brother, a family member. Somehow their mother is going to be a victim of abuse, and they're going to witness it. So like we said, that's takes a huge toll on the child, and that's a population that we take care of at the TLC, the Transitional Living Center's children, and for that reason. 1 in 5 teenage girls will be threatened with violence in a relationship, and 1 of every 4 homeless women is homeless because of violence committed against her. So there's tons of numbers that I can give you and continue to look up, but to me that's enough to know that this is it's a problem in our country. It's a problem in our community. And we're basically trying to raise awareness, raise funds to help stem the tide of the issue.
And one of the serious issues, and you mentioned it, touched upon it briefly before the interview started, Sharon, the fact that some people just won't call or won't report it to the police because of the neighbors or the family.
They're embarrassed, and then they're not sure financially what to do. It might be a mother who's a stay-at-home mom taking care of her children. So she takes when she leaves, how is she going to keep a roof over their children's head? And she doesn't want to leave without her children because she doesn't want any harm coming to them. So, you know, they're embarrassed, they're afraid, they're not sure where to go. Maybe they don't have anybody else in this town to go to. So these are the programs, the idea of what our mission is empowering women. And this is just one of the steps to do so.
One of the issues that has been brought up in the past, and this does not, it's not an excuse for anything like this to happen, but a lot of military families experience domestic abuse because the husband or wife may be stressed out about being deployed or something else going on. And then if that's the case, wherever they may be in a city where they have no family at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is part of why you need services to help. I mean, and a lot of people don't feel like they can turn to their family. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's sort of that mentality of like, well, you made your bed, so now you have to deal with it, you know. And so I think that's why we have community programs like the WISE to be able to provide that kind of infrastructure and support, you know, when your own can't, which is often the case.
Tell us again about, because you mentioned this is not, you know, particular to El Paso. Is the walk also being done nationwide on this particular day?
I don't know if it's every day. I've seen other organizations, other WISE that do it throughout the nation.
Yeah, not on the same day. Every organization that wishes to do it will do it on their own. And we plan it at the YW. We plan it specifically to coincide with Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And also it's around the time that the YWCA National does A Week Without Violence as well. So there's a lot of, you know, I mean, it's one more way that we can add attention to this issue in the month of October when it's top of mind and you know, get people talking about it. And hopefully knowledge is power when you recognize like, oh, maybe this is not a healthy relationship and maybe there are programs in El Paso that I can turn to for help.
And I'm sure you all have heard the stories of, well, gosh, he seemed like such a nice guy or she seemed like such a nice person and don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at least if there's somebody that can turn to a friend, if they know that something's happening with them and say, look, there are other programs. There are some things you can get some help. You don't have to be in this situation. So I guess if we can reach out and touch a few people,
yeah,
you know, that's what we're here for. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. You want the most amount of people to know about it. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I guess with social media around, the message is a lot more instantaneous. And as you mentioned, Kayla, people can go in there and see pictures, videos. It's just everything is coming to life with social media. And a lot of people, they won't ask you for your phone number or an email. They'll say, are you on Facebook or Instagram, whatever. And some of those pictures will be shared.
Right. And on our Facebook right now, we have lots of photos from last year's participants. So if you want to check it out, I just posted one this morning that was Team Alpha Males, and they did it last year, and they had a lot of fun. It looks like they're wearing boas, and one of them's wearing these gold heels that I wouldn't wear because I would break an ankle, and you can just tell they're having a lot of fun, and they've already started fundraising for this year. So it's really great to get teams that keep coming, and they not only have a good time, but they learn something, and they continue to spread that message.
And every year, we have some support every year from the sheriff's posse is there every year, I think from the beginning. And then, you know, the fire department, they show up in their full uniform and garments. I mean, that can't be easy. I mean, you know, and then with the heels on to boot. So we have some tremendous support in this city. They're amazing. They really are. And we just want every one of them to come back and see us, please. We need you.
So where exactly at San Jacinto Plaza do they need to meet or go? I mean, it's probably going to be a lot of signs and stuff.
We are going to be located just directly in front of there will be a tent set up directly in front of Anson's. Anson 11, excuse me, right directly in front of Anson 11. There'll be DJ music set up. You'll be able to see that right there on, what is it? I'm sorry, it's Oregon.
No.
Where Oregon meets Mills.
Right there on that corner, Oregon meets Mills. And then, of course, right after the national anthem and the prayer, we'll walk the race itself or the walk itself,
yes,
takes by 10 minutes.
Yes.
10, 15 yes. minutes.
Just like walking around the plaza. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's
walking
right.
around the
right.
plaza. And we're very excited about it being in the heart of downtown El Paso. So, you know, the park is beautiful. Everybody's so happy about it being there. And just everything's happening, the buzz and the excitement of downtown. that we're very happy it's going to be down there this year.
And it's going to attract a lot of attention from people who are shopping or walking there, and they'll see what's going on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you see a bunch of men walking around in red high heel shoes, it gets some attention.
Once again, if you wouldn't mind, perhaps Kayla, you want to share with us the information as far as what time, where, what do people need to do to sign up, and all that interesting stuff.
Of course. So the event is October 20th. It's a Thursday. Registration begins at 4:30, so we'll be out there signing people in, and you can hang out at the plaza. I believe they'll have some bars open already down there if you want to hang out with your team before. The actual march or walk is at 6:30. And if you want to register, you can go to ywcaelpaso.org/WAM16. And that's a way you'll be able to check your status, our fundraising status. And that's where you'll find the links to share your page. If you decide you want to, you know, share with your friends, ask them to contribute to your goal. And we have a YWCA El Paso Facebook, but we also have a Walk a Mile Facebook that's separate if you want to get more information and get event updates. We'll be sharing information about who the funds are helping, any sponsors that we have, any other tips for fundraising, things like that, until the day of.
And you mentioned that people can also see like pictures from last year.
Yes.
Or previous walks.
We have right now, the most recent post is actually a picture, like I said, from last year. But in the photos, there's albums from last year and the team members and the photo area where they have signs that say, you know, walk a mile, I'm man enough. Oh, they have a great time with it. So we're excited.
That's the logo they have on the T-shirts is it's all man enough. I'm man enough, you know, to walk a mile in yeah. your shoes.
And they will get a T-shirt when they register for the event, or?
Once it's the same with at a certain point and before October 1st is when you get a T-shirt.
And if you raise 100 and you said it was
125, I think is what the website says.
And I mentioned, Kayla mentioned the website, but just in case somebody still uses phones, is there a phone number that they can call to find out more for the main Y office, I guess?
Sure. To the main office?
Yes.
That phone number is 915-533-2311. And I want to make sure we don't end without also making sure that people know.
Yeah, one of the partners we work with, other community organizations that also work on this issue, and the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence is one of those. We usually make a contribution to them out of the funds raised from the walk. And just to point out, if you're listening to this, and you know, you find yourself in that situation, there is a crisis line in El Paso, and the number is 593-7300. 593-7300, and that is managed together with the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence, and you know,
that's your first start right
yeah,
there.
That's your first start,
and you can get plenty of direction. It's definitely not a situation where there's no hope. There's plenty out there, and a lot of wonderful people wanting to help.
Well, thank you all very much for taking the time to be with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been visiting with Secret Wear, Sharon Robinette and Kayla Suarez with the YWCA talking about the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, which takes place on Thursday, October 20th. Thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for having us.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Jairus Muller. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.